It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than swimming with your baby dick out.
I hate it when that happens.
Exactly. So we're better than that. I promise you that. You could join our chat room, Denpen. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, as many kids do, they watch us. I don't know if kids do it, but adults do. Anyway, they watch us on the Facebook because there's no more kids on the Facebook because we will call it the Facebook on the Davin's Den page. Go there. Watch us live. Watch Pip flail about. Audio is better on davincomedy.com. I am your host, Davin Roseblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going well. And Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, a woman goes to jail for killing a man who broke into her house. Delta Airlines is passing on its health care costs to the unvaccinated workers. Told you! Some hotels will now charge you for what you use. You can rent the backyard. The baby from Nirvana's Nevermind album cover is all grown up, and he's got a lawsuit in his pants. And now he's wearing pants, I guess. And scamming scammers. So much to do. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Joe's his usual cheery self. Pip is
a
here.
Long day.
It's always a long day. Whatever. Long day. Get some sleep. All right. Before we get it's been a news-making week. So I just want to get this out. I don't want to have a whole big fucking debate about the ins and outs of this. Because, quite frankly, we don't know. You know, there's certain things where we could talk about with some authority. There's many things where we talk out of our ass. And we do plenty of that. And there are some things that we can't possibly know the ins and outs. So for the first time in 20 years, guys, we do not have any American military in Afghanistan. It has been 20 years since we have had a presence. I remember when we got news that the attack started. I think I was at a Jets game. Because I believe it was on a Sunday, and if I'm remembering this correctly, the news came out, and you know the whole stadium erupted. You know, we wanted vengeance on Osama bin Laden. So it's been a long time, but you know we owe a lot to the military and their families who went there in our name.
Very much so.
Those who came home and those who didn't. We are appreciative of the Afghanis who fought beside our military and aided our mission, and there was thousands of them. And if you listen to any of the military who served there, their job would have been a lot more difficult and dangerous without their aid. We are saddened by the loss of civilian life in Afghanistan, but our mission initially was a just war. We were attacked, not by the people of Afghanistan, but by a terror group and the people who protected them. Our quarrel was never with the people of Afghanistan or Islam. Our quarrel was with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban who were protecting them. Or as Obama and Biden call it, the Taliban. I gotta say, it's a little annoying.
Come, Mr. Taliban, tally me
well, like, are we all saying it wrong? Are they trying to be smarter? I don't know. It's starting to annoy me.
I have never understood a lot. Whenever there's a new story, and to Americans, there are new words to our ears, I always say it whatever way Christian Amanpour says it.
Well, I assumed Obama said it because he's originally from Kenya. Right. So I figured that was the Kenyan pronunciation Taliban, but I don't know what Biden's doing. But that's neither here nor there. Over time, I think over time, many Americans forgot we were still in Afghanistan. Really? Yeah, I think so. You know, the news. It was in the news. You know, we get so busy. We'd rather attack our fellow Americans from the other political persuasion.
True.
Or we get lost in our own lives, and it's only 1% of Americans who are affiliated with the military, either, you know, military families or are actually serving there. I mean, I was always cognizant, but I think a lot of us just forget. Certainly on day-to-day, it wasn't something I thought about every day, but I was aware, and I would think, how come we're not covering any media? How come there's no news stories coming from Afghanistan.
Yeah, that was odd.
But, you know, listen, it became one of our soundtracks as Americans. 20 years a long time. Some of the people that were there yesterday might not have been born when the war started. I mean, 20 years.
That's insane.
Is a generation.
Yeah.
So, listen, the polls showed Americans didn't want to be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump didn't want to be there anymore. President Biden didn't want to be there anymore. Both of them made it abundantly clear that they wanted to end the war, and the majority of Americans didn't want to be there anymore. So you would say they were doing what the people wanted. You would say both men were doing the people's will. What you think about that doesn't matter. That's what they decided, and that's what the majority of our citizens wanted to do. We poured a lot of money into Afghanistan, money we could have used for healthcare, or infrastructure, or universal pre-K, or a wall. For 20 years, we gave Afghani women a chance. That's really what we did for 20 years. We gave Afghani women a chance, but at the end, it's not our country. It never was our country. It was never England's country. England was the first occupier. It was never the Soviet Union's country. The Soviet Union came next. They were the next occupier. And we learned what everybody else learned. It's not Afghanistan's not really a country. It's more it has lines because that's the way we draw maps. But it's very regional, very tribal. People aren't loyal to Afghanistan the way we are loyal to America. They're loyal to their tribes, to their family, to their religion. So
besides that, it's also the terrain of the country. As well.
Right. Well, yeah. Right. But I'm saying it wasn't. They don't have the loyalty. You know, for 200 plus years, we've all been very loyal to this country. Now, originally during the Revolutionary War, we had Tories who were loyal to Britain. But you put the Revolutionary War behind us, everybody's been loyal to America. It's not like I'm a New Yorker first and America second.
Yeah, no.
We've all been America first. Oh, where do you live? I live in New York. It's different in Afghanistan. So maybe it's hard for people to comprehend. So we certainly over the 20 years, we certainly had many victories. We had many defeats. You know, now we're gone. We hope terrorism doesn't flourish again, and we hope we don't lose more American lives. I mean, you know, they like to say we can get them over the horizon. Do I still think we're going to have CIA operatives and stuff in the country? I do, but I can't be certain. And anybody who tells you is probably lying, because if they were telling you with certainty, they shouldn't be telling you with certainty whether we have CIA there. I'm going to assume we're going to have special forces and intel gatherers within the region, but I don't know. I think all of us hope, no matter whether you wanted to stay in or leave, I think all of us hope now that we are gone, we never have to go back there. And I would think the way reason we would have to go back is if we were attacked again. Mm-hmm. Whether it be ISIS Special K or if Al-Qaeda reforms, you know, listen, I don't think we can really judge now our entry there, our occupation, and our exit, although that's what people get paid to do, and especially now everybody wants to make it political. I think history will judge. In my mind, our entry, the one thing that's undeniable is our entry was just. You know, when President Bush decided we were going in, it was just. Everything else, how long we stayed, could be debated. How we left, certainly can be debated. When we left, certainly could be debated. You know, listen, Joe Biden is banking on history judging him well. We can't possibly know, but all we can do is be grateful for our service people who kept us safe for 20 years, because the homeland was safe for 20 years, in large part because of what those men and women did in our names.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, I don't want to get...
Oh, yeah, I mean, they put their lives on the line. Basically, what it's been with that war and Iraq and stuff like that, and also Vietnam, is that we go to war and go nation building. And sometimes that doesn't work. I mean, you know, you fight a war, you fight a war. And, you know, and nation building has really never served us well on that. So to be there for 20 years to try to sustain it, to try to, straighten everything out, you know, it was a good move to go. Like you said, debatable on how we left, how the withdrawal went. you know, the machinery there or the people that we left there that were, you know, helping us. So, that, you know, and that is all debatable. But it was, you know, there was no end game. What was the end game?
Yeah, no, listen, it was clear President Trump wanted us out, and it was clear Joe Biden wanted us out. You know, listen, how they can both spin it however they want now, and that's what they both do. If you listen to them talk, and their people talk, they're both spinning. And if you go on social media, you know, they're picking sides. But I think it's kind of the part that really I found disgusting, and I posted this on social media, was they were using our 13 service members who died last week in a cowardly terrorist attack as a political bludgeon. I mean, is that what we are down to now?
Yes.
It's just so people who never said a word over the 20 years, and I paid attention. I couldn't tell you the names, but I would notice when we lost men and women in Afghanistan or Iraq or where we were, I would notice, or in training missions, you know, because the news would report it. It wasn't getting the splashes.
Right.
But these people never said a word. Never said a word. But now, because it meets some political agenda, now we're going to do that. Now there's the pictures in the restaurants of the 13, like, glasses for the men and women that came home. We lost over 2,000 men and women. So if we're really going to do this, put up over 2,000 glasses. If we're really going to be real about this, so I just found that completely disgusting. That's where people are.
Look, there were pictures of a restaurant doing it, a couple of bars. That's kind of a tribute to those that died, and they were the last people to get killed. And the woman got killed, and there was a picture.
Two women got killed, Joe. Two female soldiers got killed. 13 total, so 11 men and dozens of Afghani civilians who just wanted a better life. But here's the thing. Here's my point. I don't want to get into this. There was a time where, as Americans, we didn't look at left, right in these situations. We looked at those motherfuckers there did what to us? Mm. We're going to get them. That's what we were. And, you know, listen, to Biden's credit, he said we're going to get them. We've had a couple of airstrikes. And I would expect Donald Trump to say the same thing. Donald Trump has said the same thing and done similar things when he felt we were being attacked. That's what a commander-in-chief does, left or right. That's their job, to protect us and protect the military where need be. But people, they want to attack. It's just, listen, we're gonna see. History's going to judge them well. I just don't think our military should be used as some type, especially our dead military, should be used just as a prop.
The one thing, I mean, on the tributes where they would put 13 drinks on a bar and stuff like that, I think, you know, that was a tribute. I mean, if he had something on there, well, Biden's got blood on his hands, now you're political.
That was usually part of it. But my point is, Joe, not necessarily the restaurants that were doing that. My quibble isn't with them. But again, like I said, we lost a couple thousand. My quibble was with the people on social media who all of a sudden, our friends, who all of a sudden remembered we were in a war. Who all of a sudden remembered we lose men and women in our name, you know, and want to go, how could, you know, in this case, Biden do that? I mean, I don't understand, man. They were on a mission. Now, listen, we're certainly going to investigate, and I expect there to be hearings on what could have been done better. If there were mistakes made, I certainly want people to pay for those mistakes. If we did it right and it was a dangerous mission and that happens, I want that to come out too. But this rush to judgment and to blame the other, it's just like, guys, get your shit together. We're Americans first. They attacked us. They didn't attack the Democrats. They didn't attack the Republicans. They attacked Americans. And they attacked Afghanis who wanted to come to America, who aided us. That should be the focus. Any tribute to them, I'm all about. But just, you know, just be realistic about how much you've really paid attention. That's all I'm saying.
I just wonder, I heard this morning that there were Americans, like, almost, they figure about 200 Americans still there.
Yes.
I have no idea what the backstory is, but I'm wondering, what the hell are they still doing there?
Well, I mean, listen, they say it's actually probably less than 200. I mean, again, who really knows? The administration said since March, because the original pullout date that Donald Trump negotiated was May, since March, they've been sending out messages, evacuate, evacuate, evacuate. And then I guess the shit hit the fan the past couple of weeks when everybody goes, oh, they're leaving. As Americans, as not even Americans, as people do, we procrastinate. And again, there are certainly people who are much more informed than the three of us who could debate whether we should have kept our military in harm's way a few days longer or whether it was time to go. And if you listen to the administration, again, who really knows? They're saying they're working it diplomatically now. And if you think about it, it really does not behoove the Taliban to eliminate these 200, 150 people, because that's going to cause problems, because then over the horizon, if the Taliban wants to run their country, what really they should do is not become our pals, because that's never going to be.
That's not going to happen.
But they really should do as little as possible that's going to give either this president or the next president or the president after that a reason to go back. Because we've clearly shown, the last two administrations have clearly shown, we don't want to be there anymore. So don't make us come back,
because it's going to be ugly if we have.
Exactly. Well, and Donald Trump said,
don't make me turn around.
Donald Trump said that if we have to go back, you know, he said that it's going to be ugly when he was president. Joe Biden would say the same thing. It makes sense for them to accommodate those 150, 200 people to get them out of the country. Really, it would make sense for them to get everybody who doesn't want to live under Sharia law under the country. Because for what? For what? You want to establish a government? You want people infighting? You want rebels and everything? Listen, if people are going to take your riffraff, because what the people who don't want Sharia law are now the riffraff in their mind, if people are going to take your riffraff, get rid of them. Imagine if Republicans or Democrats could say, listen, we can get rid of all the left or all the right. Canada's going to take them. Mexico's going to take them. People would do it. So, I mean, so this is only 200 people. So, you know,
Well, that's Americans, though.
Also, the one thing I find interesting is that there are people that are coming out for Joe Biden's impeachment articles to impeach him over this. And I think it's an abuse of impeachment. I really don't think that it's an impeachable.
No, he's the commander in chief. He was following a deal that his predecessor made. Now, you could certainly argue, and I don't want to get into the weeds on this, you could certainly argue, well, the Biden administration has certainly overturned a lot of Trump administration policies. So if they really wanted to overturn this, they could have. And the Trump administration, as we talk about, certainly overturned plenty of Obama administration policies.
My contention, too, but it's just between what people wanted to impeach Trump and now people wanting to impeach Biden over this. You're diluting the process of impeachment. You know,
yeah, of course they are. Of course they are. But that's where we are. That's where we are. We're in a nation, and I'm not going to talk about the validity of the drug itself, but we're in a nation where people go to feed stores and go, I want the horse dewormer. Forget about going to your doctor and getting a prescription from the pharmacy of this medicine. They go, no, I'm going to go to the feed store and get the horse dewormer. These are our citizens. So, you know, for people to react sillily and do outrageous, that's who we are. How many years have I been saying?
You got a point. I can't understand how you're like, well, I don't trust Moderna, I don't trust Pfizer, I don't trust Johnson & Johnson, but I do trust the horse. I mean, I don't understand the thinking. Well, I don't know what that could do. You don't know what the horse
can. I know.
So Paul Bond was in our chat room last week.
Yeah.
So Wednesday night, it's late at night. I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé and the DVR with the wife. We love that trash. The 90, and Paul messages me out of the blue with like a meme about, you know, so and one of the things said, this has never been done before. And I said, yeah, it has. We've had vaccinations before. So he's like, well, this isn't a vaccine. And you're mocking these people, you're laughing. And I said, no, I'm laughing at people who die in hilarious ways. which I said on the show last week. I said, if you're so stupid to take horse dewormer, go ahead and die. And, you know, and Paul didn't think that was funny. He's kind of lost his comedic sense. As a comedian, I think we can all agree, if you're going to take veterinary medicine as your cure, hey, let the chips fall where they may. We used to call that a Darwin Award winning now. Now we call that anti-vaxxers who have a point. Nay, nay. Oddly enough.
Nay, nay.
You've been waiting years for a reason for that to make sense. Nay, nay.
No, like I said, I'm not going to get into the validity of Invectrin or whatever it is. But as I said to Paul, If you at least want to take it, talk to your doctor. Get a prescription from CVS. What? But whatever. Listen, but anyway, this is what we live with, Joe. So impeachment, whatever feels good. We live in a world where Marjorie Taylor Greene is a serious human being. That's the world we live in.
No, wait.
I was talking to Joe Cumier a couple of days ago. We were talking about the whole vaccine thing. And the thing about it is, you know, where Anthony Cumia could say, well, I'm not going to take it. Joe Cumia could say, I'm not going to take it. Paul could say, I'm not going to take it. They have the luxury, and it's their right. I mean, Aunt Joe had it, so they get the antibodies. But they have their right. Those guys are self-employed. You know, me, I got it. I'm not thrilled about it, but I got it. You see these lights? They don't keep on by themselves. You know, I mean, I got to keep this stuff cooking here. So I have to play it. As much as I wasn't thrilled about it, I got to play the game.
Well, listen, pal, you got smallpox vaccine, rubella vaccine, measles vaccine. They didn't ask your opinion about that shit. You didn't know what was in it, but your mom said, stick the boy. I mean, that's what we do, you know, and if you want to travel, you know, one day you have the free time and you want to travel to, say, Africa, like I might be going on an African safari in the next year or so, guess what? I'm going to get stuck with a bunch of shit. I mean,
stop. You're going on an African safari?
Yeah, this is new.
Yeah, it's in discussions.
Safari? Where are you going?
Africa, stupid. that's the safari.
On an African safari?
Yeah, we might do that for our, how long have we been fucking married? 20 years? 20 years, we might do
he
that.
He looks at me like I
well,
know.
You were there.
I was there, but
You were both there. 20 year? We might do that for the 20 year. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, they're going to stick me with shit. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole COVID thing this minute, but it's like, nobody explains to me what the end game is. For control.
You don't get dengue fever.
For control. What are they controlling? Am I now a robot? Am I under their control? Because I got to tell you, if they're controlling me, they are doing a shitty job because I am pretty fucking useless. Listen, this is the right has been on this anti-science push for years. The last time the right was with science was probably George Bush Sr., which I know liberals don't really like him very much, but he believed in acid rain, and he signed shit to make the acid rain go away. And it
I think what it is, and I'm being the devil's advocate here.
Well, he needs somebody.
Funny. But it's not my opinion, but I would say in the case of those folks that feel that way, I think it's government intervention with the vaccine being the vehicle for it. And like I said, that's my overview.
Yeah, but Joe, here's the problem with that. Before the vaccine, the mask was the problem. They live in this delusional world where they think they're totally free, and as I've explained millions of times, you're not. You can't smoke in restaurants anymore. You can't smoke in airplanes. You have to wear a seatbelt. You have to go the speed limit. You can't slap a stranger on the street because it feels like it. We live in a society. You're not as free as you think you are. You do things for the good of society. That's what this is. Listen, I don't want to get into all the wackadoo theories. I understand. It's nerve-wracking. Nobody wants to get stuck with a needle. I get it. But, I mean, we talked about the story last week where you think these nurses are crisis actors? Real actors can't get fucking jobs. Now you think they're training nurses and doctors to get a job? Who the hell would want to go into acting? I can't imagine crisis acting being a well-paying gig. What's that pay, Joe? $75 a day? That's a lousy fucking gig.
And like I said, the lead singer of my band, Adam Sprout, they're both working actors. They're waiting for the phone to ring.
Sure. Yeah, listen, I'm sure at this point, you know, Adam's not getting the sitcom opportunities he wants. I'm sure he'd love to be a crisis actor. You know, he could draw in his, like, what was the fucking the Italian restaurant he used to do? Olive Garden. He could call on his Olive Garden chops, gather the family around. You know, they could all be on fucking respirators. You know?
Endless breadsticks and oxygen.
Listen, Adam Ferrara is a talented actor, and he's ready to work. He is ready to be your crisis actor. I don't. He's probably in the guild. You might have to pay union fees. But to get a name like Adam Ferrara for your crisis acting, you'd be a fool not to. Joe is taking acting classes. Joe is waiting for your calls.
These male nurses look really familiar.
Is that De Niro? Is De Niro an ICU doctor?
Do you see him having trouble getting work?
Nobody was working there for a little while.
True.
Now on Netflix, the new series, Crisis Actors.
Yeah. Hospital Cabaret.
I mean, the fucked things they think about. And they believe, and the other thing about it is they believe all these crazy lunatics can keep a fucking secret. All the powers that be that fucking hate each other, this they're keeping the secret. Shh, don't tell nobody. We're going to control everybody very loosely.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Sovereign Citizens?
Is that an improv troupe?
No. Funny. Well, yes, kind of. Joe, have you ever heard of them?
No.
Okay, well, they're people. You should look it up on Google sometime. It's really strange. They're people that have this strange belief that they are free people and that the government of the United States does not have any status as being over them. The laws mean nothing to them. And they make up crazy things to say. Like when you're in municipal court, you can spot one right away.
Listen. We're all sovereign citizens until the fuzz is on our ass. Once the fuzz is on our ass, the whole sovereign citizen thing kind of goes goodbye, because now you're in the fucking system of the United States. And
Oh, no. That's when they become much more virulent, and they just have to go on and on.
Fine. Be virulent. Go on and on. You're going to wind up in the hooscow. Listen, you have all the time in the world to preach that you're a sovereign citizen. Well, you're doing 10 to 20. It's fine. It's fine. See how that works. And honestly, you wouldn't want to be a sovereign citizen, because that can mean we're all sovereign citizens. And you better be a tough, you better be Jason Momoa. You know, you better look like that fucking motherfucker. Because I got to tell you right now, somebody looks like me, I'm not so much of a sovereign citizen. Things would happen to me.
Oh, you mean in jail, yeah.
No, anywhere. Because if we're all sovereign citizens, say I'm eating a nice hamburger. Say I come out of the McDonald's and I got myself a nice Big Mac. We're all sovereign citizens here. Now somebody who's bigger than me, well, they're a sovereign citizen too. They can punch me in the jaw with no repercussions and take my Big Mac. It's okay. We're all sovereign citizens here. I mean, think about what society would be.
Well, there are enough of them that I've heard of them, and I'm not the most well-read woman in the world.
Certainly not.
By far.
Certainly not.
Hey, you know?
I'm agreeing. I'm agreeing. You know, my wife gets mad at the same type of thing. I agree, and it throws you.
Yeah, I know. It's unusual.
Yes.
But the thing is that my point is that these type of people that really do have some wackadoo theories about government and their freedoms and, you know, anyway, the language of law that they believe in is really quite nutty. But what's occurring to me since I learned about them, and then I start to hear some of the way that people rationalize their beliefs about vaccinations and COVID and whatever, I'm like, holy crap, there's a whole more... We've got a bumper crop of them now.
Because it's accepted. Because it's accepted now. It used to be the lunatic fringe. Now it's just, yeah, it's a bunch of lunatics and they're running for office and winning.
And speaking of acting with Adam, you know, we were working together a couple weeks ago and we were in the car talk, and he got the J&J because you want to know something? So let me get you this straight. If I get this, I can work. Yeah, all right, fine.
Listen. The Crisis Actors Guild... or CAG, if you will. CAG will be blessed to have a man of the talents of Adam Ferrara as one of their crisis actors. I hope Adam Ferrara gets that coveted crisis acting gig that he's been looking for. It's so fucking... The thing that annoys me is that we used to go, oh, wow, look at the fucking nut on the platform at the subway. Keep on walking. Don't look at him.
Right.
Now we give these people fucking validity, and they influence policy. If I told, and again, I don't want to do a whole COVID thing tonight, but if I told you, I have a state, and there is a disease that is running rampant through our state,
mm-hmm.
and we have children who cannot get the protection of it, the armor that they need from this disease invader, and we're going to make it illegal for you to say that those children must be protected. You would go, what type of dystopian bullshit is this? What do you protect the children, asshole?
You want children's services, and they're pronto.
You want to protect, but we don't live in that country. My freedom. Yeah, your freedom, but don't kill the fucking kids. But that's where we live now. It's a new thing. Those thoughts were always out there, but now they've gained power.
I have a friend who, early on during the pandemic, you know, when it became apparent that, you know, older people were going to be particularly susceptible, said on, you know, when she was still on social media, said, well, you know what, I don't care. I mean, I've had a long, good life. If I have to die so that the kids can go out and do their, have their life and you know, live normally, so be it. And I'm like, fuck you!
Listen, no. I support your friend's willingness to die. Far be it from me. See, that like when you intervene with suicide, well, how many people are depending on them? If there's nobody depending on them and they're kind of a pain in the ass, you can go. I mean, there's no reason why the suicide hotline should have to save everyone. Like the first thing should be, do you have a family? Are you the breadwinner? Do you have an important job where you can't be replaced? If all those answers are no, go listen. You're good to go. The fans go. You don't want to put it on the highest speed. You put it on a nice medium speed. Make sure you tie a strong knot.
Oh my God.
Don't do it when anybody's home because you're gonna traumatize them. And I can't do that. I can't allow that. But you know, make sure you know you want to test it with like a sandbag. You know, make sure the fan can hold your weight because otherwise you're gonna bring the fan down and it's gonna be fucking embarrassing. But you do all that stuff and go have at it, kill yourself. What?
I don't know. Do you think people have the propensity to be embarrassed after they've died?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think embarrassment transcends death. I will tell you about this, and then we'll move on. So I'm outside the other day with the wife and the neighbors, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this. And sometimes, you know, like when you go down the wrong street, you got to turn around.
Sure.
Yeah.
If there's nobody outside, I'll go into a driveway, back out, and make a turn.
Yeah.
If there are people standing at the house,
right,
I can't pull in that driveway.
No.
The fucking embarrassment, because they're going to talk. Now, I'm never going to see these people again, chances are. But my sense of embarrassment is too, because they're going to go, who the fuck is this asshole?
Well, you know, with my friends and I, whenever we have to turn around, and, you know, like it's nighttime, nobody's around, we just drive into the driveway and go, honey, I'm home, and then we back
out. No, you don't got to make a spectacle of it. You're not Fred Flintstone.
We do it for ourselves.
No, but when there's people, when there's nobody, but talking about embarrassment, when there's people you don't even know,
yeah.
You need to make that draw. You need to go make that turn in the driveway. You're going to go up a couple more blocks. Oh, fuck it.
Yeah, I'm not going to be anywhere near people. Well, part
now,
of the
some
thing
people,
is,
some people wouldn't care. At my old house, I was the first place you could make a turn. I'd be sitting on my right, people pulling the driveway and then pulling. What the fuck are you? You know?
I can't live like that. It sounds like a wonderful existence. It sounds very freeing to just be able to pull into anybody's driveway where there's a captive studio audience and not give a shit. I can't do that, though.
No.
Like, what will they think? They'll think I'm an asshole.
Well, you know, there
let
are
me,
some...
Let me tell you something. If I'm running late for a gig, I don't give a damn if there's a prayer service going on. I'm pulling in and pulling out.
Well, Joe, that's a church.
There are some people that are... They're on those side streets where people commonly like pass the exit or something, and they know that you're going to come and turn around in their driveway, and they have signs, no U-turn.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to those. I'm U-turning.
No. I don't want people come out with a shotgun because wait for you to have the nerve
that's
to do
right.
it.
I don't give it. Then they're the asshole in this scenario.
Yeah,
if you don't, if
I don't want to be shot by an asshole or a normal person.
You know, if you don't want people to turn around and drive, you put up garbage pails or those tire strips where they fucking blow out the tire. Although, a sign's not, if I am lost or I need to turn around, your no trespassing sign is not going to deter me. The only thing that's going to deter me is live eyeballs. Now, if you want to be vigilant and sit on your stairs, I'm not going to turn. Otherwise, if you're not there, well, fucker, bets are off. I don't give a shit if I'm on your ring cam. I'm assuming you don't have a ring cam. I don't give a shit about, what are you going to gather the friends around for a view? Viewing? I don't give a shit about that. Is movie
night? What are you going to do if you make the turn? What, are they going to call the cop? This guy made a turn into my driveway. And the cop's 10?
There was clearly a sign that said no U-turns.
If you didn't stop and take your TV, we could give a shit.
You know what I would say?
Right.
If they came at me, I'd say, excuse me, I am a sovereign citizen.
Oh, God.
Your signs have no sway with me, sir.
You have never seen determination to keep your mouth shut than the faces of people in courtrooms and cops when they hear sovereign citizens start spouting off their nonsense. You got to watch some of these videos. They're just, you can see them going, oh, Jesus.
Why doesn't the judge cut them off?
It depends on the judge. Some of them do. Some of them let them ramble for
a while. You know what I would do? This is what I would do. I would put my hands, both my hands, I'd clasp my hands underneath my chin. I'd gaze and I'd go, go on. tell me how my laws have no effect on you. No, you have the floor. And then I'd go, and then I'd fucking sentence their ass. I go, oopsie, I guess you were wrong. Next.
They'll just let them go and give them enough rope to hang themselves with.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I kicked that man in the shins because I'm a sovereign citizen. And the little stenographer has it on record that you said you kicked that man in the shins.
Well, they don't think that there are no rules. They just think that a lot of the rules that are on the books are not rules that they have to follow.
Sure, I think the same way, like the speed limit. Oh, that 55 can't possibly be for me. You mean 70. 70. You wrote the sign wrong. That's your mistake, officer. I don't see that being a me mistake. You know what, officer? I apologize. That's not your mistake. That's the sign painter's mistake. You know, you're reading the same. You're reading. You don't know. But we know. We know. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That speed limit doesn't apply to us.
Every speed limit sign painter all of a sudden, you know, subtracts 10 from the real speed limit when he paints
it. It's a conspiracy to get us to have tickets. That's what it is. They're changing the signs. If you look on the ancient scriptures of the original speed limit in Jesus' time, in Jesus' time, you were allowed to go 80 on a camel. I swear, it's true.
I clock you on your ox doing 20.
One time I saw a man doing 50 in a yak on in a 35.
In a yak.
Hey, slow your yak down. There's children here.
People are trying to... This is a marketplace.
People are trying to churn butter and shit.
Going past everybody doing 11. What's going on?
Doing 11.
Sounds pretty fast. That's a brisk pace.
It's an 11.
It's a very odd number. 11.
I know, but you know, when you had yaks running things, that was about what your speed.
Yeah. All right. So,
you know, people have really fancy ones. They were called Cadillac.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, there you go. Look at that. I got to tell you, I did not have Cadillac in the over.
That wasn't on your bingo card.
Cadillac is certainly not on my bingo card. Let's ask Joe real quick, then we'll move on. So Joe, Pippa's has started her first week. We're going into September. I say Pip will miss 2 days at the day program and one Tuesday of showing up. Pip says nay nay will not happen. What say you?
It's the new Pip. Depending on her health, then I hope.
Obviously, Joe, I don't need a fucking. We know Pip's backstory.
It's a fucking question. I'm answering it, stupid.
Well, I'm waiting for it. It's a number.
I'm answering it. And I said, well, if she keeps in good health and watches her health, I think that she'll be able to do it.
So you think Pip will have good health for a month?
Yes.
Even Pip's saying no.
No, I probably will not.
I'm vouching for her. She's shaking her head no fucking way.
Well, no.
In 2 weeks, they'll see you in 3. What do you want out of me?
I appreciate.
Don't work, stupid. Be healthy.
I appreciate you wanting me to be healthy, Joe. But I'm just, what I'm saying is, I probably will not be. But unless there is a limb hanging off, I am going to work because I have a 90-day probation period.
Oh, day 91 is when the real fun starts.
Double secret probation.
Mr. Helix will just pour me into a cart and bring me to work. It's just, honey, just hand me the keyboard. I'll be good.
Yeah, but 90 days, you're fine with 2 days if you're sick. Because they remember now, they don't want you coming into the office sick.
No, they don't.
So,
they don't.
So, you know, listen, 90-day probation.
Listen, I didn't know there was 90-day probation. Day 91 is when the real fun starts. That's when we shall revisit. You know, and my over will certainly be more than two. But we shall see. We shall certainly see. Listen, I hope I'm wrong.
There's another person that works there that is in the same position as me. She's relatively new, and she was... she called in that she overslept and she was, you know, kind of late. And no one said anything, but there was a palpable tension in the air. And then I'm overhearing conversation between her and the other lady, and something was brought up about, oh, what about the time you were really late? And I was like, she's not done with her probation period. I don't know if I'm going to be working with her.
You know what my takeaway? Yeah. You know what my takeaway from that is, Joe? Pip might get her own desk soon.
I'm wondering.
My ex-wife Joanne started a job, and there was a problem with a car, and my princess ex-wife drove my van to work.
Good for her.
Yeah.
All right. So with the choice now is, do I do the black cat story or do I tell you about the housing situation?
Housing.
Okay. All right. Wow, that was fucking aggressive.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What would you like, dear?
It's fine. I appreciate the enthusiasm. Thank you.
I want to hear.
You're on the edge of your seat.
I literally am.
You literally are.
Yeah, my sciatic is killing me. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Sorry to hear that. Do you need some Motrin or something?
No, maybe later.
We have.
Thank you.
I'll be right back.
Wait, where are you going?
I'll be right back.
He's going to get me some Motrin.
I've never seen such a fucking thing.
I wonder
if he had chicken salad.
You know what?
No, it's not that I didn't give a shit. I had to turn my AC off. It's freezing in here.
Ah. No joke. There's a deli near my new place of employment.
Not during probation. No.
No. And I looked in that case and I'm like, none of that is stuff that will be eaten by me.
Not during the first 90, my dear. Day 91, give me the chicken salad.
But let me tell you something. It's day 91. You're running in there, and you got chicken salad. All right, good. Give me the crust that's on the end of it. 3 days.
The crust.
I like my chicken salad warm and crunchy.
Oh
yeah.
God.
And do you have some shrimp salad I could take home?
Yeah, but not the cold stuff, the warm stuff.
The stuff that's about to go out into the dumpster. That's what I want.
Would you like us to warm it up for you?
Okay, that's not a problem. I'm going to stop by the gas station and get some sushi. So,
No, I remember a story about a woman who got nachos at the gas station, and the cheese sauce is what killed her.
Killed her?
Killed her.
Killed her.
Killed her.
Usually it's just heartburn of the runs, killing
you. No, it had, I forget if it was E. coli or something else really nasty, and she wasn't feeling great from it, and she's like, fucking nachos. But she ended up in the hospital and died from it.
Now that'll learn.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Jesus.
You know what she died of? Nacho causes.
What did he say? I missed it.
She died of nacho causes.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
I am the king of stink tonight.
The king of stink. Davin can't laugh. He's are you crying?
Because you know what? Because here's the
thing. Are you crying?
There are acts. There are comics that their whole act is that. And it's amusing for like 5 minutes. Yeah, but this is fun. But you can't see too much of it. And Joe's not one of those acts. But I'll tell you, the way he's going tonight, you would think he might be working on it.
You would think, and I just want to preface that with those two past jokes that I've done in the past 10 minutes, I would not do it gunpoint on stage, but you know, it's a Miranda podcast. That could be silly.
They were funny. They're not the worst ones I've heard. They were actually pretty good.
No, I liked
it. You go to one of my shows, you never work for me or the show again. I'm just saying, I laugh, but don't get me wrong.
Yeah, listen. I don't want to see that on a stage coming to a town near you. But I mean, for our purposes, the way you slipped it in, it'd be wrong of you not to do it. So it's nacho causes.
Nacho.
You know, it's a shame he can never use that again.
I know. It's like he's got to retire that sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's like Nacho Cuesta. Even if he tries it here, we're going to give him a dirty looking groan. Like the first time.
Never work again. That,
no.
That joke. Even if there was one bit that wasn't like that, you do on stage and you go, wow, that worked. And you try it and it.
Actually, you know what? If I were you, I would file that away. And here's when I would file that away. There's going to be a gig where they spring it on you, where you have to work way cleaner than you ever thought. That's the type of thing. Or there's going to be where there's kids in the audience, and it's a good way to win the kids over.
There's a thing. Aunt and I have always goofed about years and years and years goofing around. And we called it the bit ball. You know, when we would think of something up, and I go, won't use it today, won't use it tomorrow, could come in handy in about 10 years. And there's a couple of them that have, you know, where, you know, we would make this goofy joke, and maybe on stage at the club 10 years later, that, you know, it's the perfect time, and it would work, you know?
I think I've had two. What do you call a gay bird?
What?
A nutcracker?
A cockatoo.
Yeah, that's good to do in front of kids.
Well, not that one. No, not that one.
He saves those up for bar mitzvah.
But this next one I've done in temples. What do you get a moil for Hanukkah?
I don't know.
A brisket.
That's good.
Oh, jeez.
Well, apparently that was a thinker for Pip.
It was.
He's working on so many levels with this.
I guess I'm hungry. I was thinking deli.
So, yeah, you never know.
That had to get a laugh.
A laugh, a groan, whatever. You know what? When I'm performing in front of Orthodox Jews in front of the Bima, which is where they keep the Torahs, which is where God's name is written, you're kind of just trying to survive. I'm not really going for the art at that point.
You just talked about slicing dicks.
No.
It's not. There are going to be groans.
No. It's a brilliant joke for an Orthodox temple.
It is.
It's brilliant. Listen. Am I doing it on the Late Show, Dr. Hootenanny? No. I'm not doing it there. But,
Dr. Hootenanny.
All right. Here's another one. Wow, this is a really old one that I had. I went to the pound the other day, and I saw these Siamese cats. They were attached at the tail. It was the tail of two kitties. I mean, that's like 20 years old that I've had that joke. Again, where are you? I'm not trotting this out on stage, but I have.
I like that.
Of course you do.
Because there is one, you'll be in a certain situation, and it's like this will be perfect right here. You pull it right out of the ball.
You know when these are good for, Joe? And you've seen me do this on occasion. When an audience pisses me off and it's time for punishment jokes.
Yeah.
I tell you, though, that would instantly become a meme that would go viral on Facebook.
I'm not looking to go viral. I took the fucking vaccine. But anyway.
Yeah, maybe that list of retired terms, go viral, will be one of on the list.
No. The cure for going viral is you fucking take horse dewormer. That's how you don't go viral. You know, listen. If it's something that Dr. Ed says he wants to fucking take, well, Wilbur, go to the feed store and get me some medicine. I'm not fucking taking it. That's just me. All right, enough.
Or you could do a podcast and do all that cornball stuff and then get a following with people and then sell out Governors, where the rest of us are standing around going, how the fuck do you pull that off? Yeah,
that type of success, I'm not interested. I'm doing it for the love of the game.
Yeah.
So some of the houses closed. The dream house, which I actually showed pictures to Pip and everything, with the oasis of a backyard.
Yeah.
The oasis of the backyard, where we originally bid over asking, mm-hmm. and we lost out. And then we came back, then it came back on the market, and we bid asking, and we lost out. So it closed.
Wow.
What do you think it closed at? How much over or under do you, or the same, do you think it closed over asking, under asking, or asking?
It probably went over asking.
Over asking, Joe says.
I'm thinking over asking.
Pip says over asking. It went for $9,000 under asking.
What?
Wow,
that's weird.
They had a septic issue.
So
that was negotiated. So figure if they did a whole septic system, say, which is about $30,000.
Yeah.
So they probably got So they probably got 30. Let's see. They probably got about 20,000 over asking, and it probably cost 30. So they had probably come down like about 10,000 under. That's probably what happened.
Well, that's a problem. Like I said, Joe and my band was house hunting. It was pretty much set to buy this one house that had the same issue that you did, and going back and forth. And then the guy put it back in the market and was haggling again. And it was, you know, and the guy wouldn't come down, and he walked away. I mean, that is an issue with both the house that you wanted and the house that Joe wanted, you know?
So.
Yeah.
Then there was... the house that we pulled out of over septic issues.
Yes.
We were 50,000, 52,000 over asking for that house.
Yeah.
And then we pulled out and they said, well, we got somebody who's 2,000 underneath your offer.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, peace out, motherfuckers. That house closed. Where do you think it went for asking? Over asking or under asking?
That's got to be under asking because that was a money pit.
I'm probably going to say under as well because the work needed.
It went for over asking by 10,000, but 40,000 underneath our offer
because of the money pit septic tank.
Because of that thing. So now I don't know if they sold it to the next bidder or what happened. I drove by the house today. As a matter of fact, the front yard was not tore up where the old septic tank was. So I don't know what's going to be. But that's kind of interesting. So they still got more than they expected. They still got more than they expected. But people were like, "Fuck no!" To the for the stratosphere we were in for that.
Yeah,
but you want to know something, Dev? With these houses, you were talking about the work and what had to be done and what got. And I mean, you're encountering all these problems. You don't even own the place yet. So imagine when you walk in and now it's yours, and you got to take care of all this stuff. And it's always more expensive because you always have the guy there working on. Can I talk to you for a second? I got to show you something, you know. And which means it's going to be your bank account. You got to, he's going to be in. So it's always something. So
with the Dream House, remember we discovered. Well, we saw that they had a mice issue. So who knows if that was part of it? There might have been an infestation. You know, who knows what the foundation was, how much damage the mice did. But it was just interesting. Like, son of a bitch, this thing went for under. So then there's the house, which I haven't told you guys about. I talked to Pip about this, actually, but I haven't brought it to the air yet. So we went to see a colonial, which is what the girls want. They have to have a colonial. Can't have a bi-level. Can't have a ranch. Ugh, whatever. So we got to have a colonial. And we see his house. It's in town. It's got the natural gas, which the wife wants. It's got the municipal water, which the wife wants. Three huge bedrooms, a den area, which I could use for my office, a basement, which is very usable. Backyard, lovely deck with a pool, an above ground pool, but it's not completely white trash because they have the pool meeting the above ground, the deck meeting the above ground. See, there's stages of pool. If you get an above ground pool, not attached to the deck, white trash.
Why?
It's just white trash. That's where we are now. It's not 1980. Please. It's not 1988. Now, if you get the above ground pool with the deck attached, where you can walk up to it. Bougie white trash, still a little white trash, but you're fancy. Now you get the in-ground pool. You got some money. You're living. You get the saltwater in-ground pool. Now you're the king of the hill.
Yeah.
And if you got a saltwater pool that you're heating it to 98 degrees, you're a millionaire shock jock.
He's what? You're what?
A millionaire shock jock.
Yeah. Yes.
Or you bought the millionaire shock jock's house. I just want to see Anthony move so I can see them load the fucking dinosaur.
the dinosaur's gone. Dinosaur's gone. Missy's brother got the dinosaur.
Okay.
Okay. How do you move that? You're not fitting that in a hatchback.
Please do.
You take it apart?
Please do stick it in a hatchback.
So then there's this other house. And it's expensive, but we can afford it. You know, it's more than what we originally wanted to spend.
Okay.
You know, when we got into this market in March.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Changed.
You know what? The girls love the house.
Okay.
Well, we haven't had that. The wife's like, this is the first house where I see where I go, ah, this is home. And the daughter doesn't have any complaints. And we know how if they're not fucking bitching, I'm way ahead of the game.
Yes.
Because I live not to deal here bitching.
Throw money at it.
That is me. Throw money at it.
What's the system like? What's the septic? Cesspool?
No, I told you, municipal.
Oh, okay. I thought
yeah. So but it's in the village. So the village, there's the town where I live, and then the village, I don't know. And then there's the fucking nomad land where I fucking live. Don't go there. That's where the zombies are. I don't fucking know. There's so much fakakta nonsense in this town.
Was that the nuclear bombing area?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Was that like Bikini Island of your town?
Listen, I don't know. I don't know. I don't. I've been here for what, 15 some odd years? I don't leave the house, and that's the way I like it.
Is the special black soil there?
Well, that's in Pine Island.
I know.
The black dirt, which is great to grow onions, but unfortunately, you know, in plowing season, it gets really dusty, and then it covers all your shit.
And it smells like onions everywhere.
Yeah, that's a problem, too. It's a problem, too. So, but this house has really high taxes. Taxes that are out of step with the other houses in
this
the area.
This is the place we were talking about.
This is the place where we were, that's what I said, I told you about
it.
I talked to Pip. I go to Pip for all my tax problems. Not my dad, the CPA. I go to Pip. Pip's my go-to.
What did your dad know?
I channeled one of Pip's previous lives, and I minded. I'm like, finally, this woman's being useful for me.
I know stuff.
No, Pip was excellent. I don't know if what she said was true or not, but it sounded like she knew shit, and I certainly didn't know anything.
It was in a couple of weeks, it was the second long conversation, similar conversation I'd had with people that I know, and people would say, oh my God, she actually knows things.
No, Pip was very good. I only had to chastise her once or twice for not calling. But but once we got the heart to reach Pip, she was excellent, spent a lot of time with us, explained it all. So no complaints about Pip for a change, which was nice. Because if there was complaints, I would have brought it up last week.
The sky is falling.
Well, you're in the basement, dear. You're fine.
The house is falling.
Well, then we're all going to die. And I guess the Dick Eldorado podcast is starting quicker than anybody imagined. Joe will just have to clap so the lights come off and get into costume. But he'll be right back in 10 minutes.
Because when the show is down in this turmoil, Dick Eldorado rides
again. Yeah. and his yakalak. So it's already more expensive than it should be. And, you know, and Pip was like telling us all the reasons why. And of course, you can go to the town and dispute it. So we went to the town. Basically, what the holdup was, well, not the holdup, one of the reasons was, like, they didn't mark a lot of the reasons that Pip said they can mark it up for. And the thing had been surveyed years ago in-house. But the people, since it was in-house, they claimed it as a finished basement. Now, they did the floor. They might have done the ceiling, too. But I've actually seen much nicer basements. Not that this was a very nice basement, don't get me wrong. But I've seen much nicer basements that were claimed as unfinished.
Yeah, that's odd.
Right.
That's odd.
So once you claim it as the finished basement, the tax collector's like, ooh, this is livable space. Uh-huh. We can tax the F out of this.
Yeah.
So it was. So we would have been paying more than $1,000 a month. More than $1,000 a month just in taxes. Forget about principal. Forget about interest. And it was out of step. And it was only 0.3 acres. We looked at things that were like 3 acres that had much lower taxes. So we're like, all right, we're not going to do this. My parents call me up. They're like, we'll give you the money. Don't worry. My parents have been very generous.
That's very nice.
We'll give you the money. But our point was this. We appreciate it. We love this house. But the reason this house doesn't have any offers is because of the taxes.
Yeah.
So, and the taxes are just going to go up. So this is always going to be a high-taxed house. Whether we can afford it or not, it's going to be really hard to sell. And the town don't give a shit because somebody's getting the money.
When I was selling my house, that was an issue with my house. After the place was almost on the market for like 3/4 of a year, they're like, my real estate agent goes, oh, the taxes are too high. You'll have to get them grieved. I'm like, why don't you tell me that before we listed that?
You have to get them what?
grieve. That's when you go, you hire an agency and they go, they grieve your taxes. That's how you get them lower. You grieve them.
Oh,
that's
appeal.
Oh, right. Okay. So you can either do it yourself or somebody else can do it for you. Yeah. But there's no guarantee.
No.
There's no guarantee.
No, there's not.
So did you win?
Yeah, we got it lowered. Got it lowered. Not by maybe about a grand or something like that.
All right.
Know?
That makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, these taxes were actually higher than what it was listed at. So it's a shame. I don't know if that house still has any offers.
And the taxes are a big deal because that, you know, you look at what your taxes are in your payment every month, and that's the major part of your payment. I mean, the principal's there, but the taxes are the biggest.
Well, we talked to my mother-in-law, and she said, you know, that was a big thing. It used to, like, even when their house was paid off, because they paid off their house, you know, they were still paying $1,000 or $1,500 a month in taxes. It was a kick in the gut. Our real estate agent was saying the same thing, because I guess she came from Long Island, and she said, like, that was the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like a kick in the gut. If you feel like you're getting screwed.
It was expensive. When I left my house in Huntington 4 years ago, I was paying $15, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot when there's no property. You know what? If I got acres, I get it. Even though I'm doing nothing with the acres, even if the acres are forest, I get it. I got my little compound.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about 0.3 acres or 0.6 or something like that,
yeah.
And there's houses with much more acreage, and it's a part of it is and more bedrooms. Like, this was only a 3-bedroom house. Like, we've looked at 4-bedroom houses, 5-bedroom houses, but because it's in the town, and so now my wife's gonna have to decide.
Okay. I was gonna ask, what was the deciding factor why it was so much more?
Because the village plus the finished basement. That's where they nail you. So you need to find somebody with an unfinished basement, and then if you pay, we were willing to pay up to 12 in taxes.
Okay,
which some people are going to go, that's crazy, that's a lot, and some people, depending where you live, go, that's nothing. Really, it really depends where you are. Which is still, if you think about it,
from Long Island, that's the average,
right?
Yeah,
but if you think about it. But if you think about that's that's $1,000 a month. You're not even paying down principal. It's
Oh, honey, don't I know?
Right. So then, when your taxes are out of whack with the other ones, you come . So that's the one that sticks in the craw.
Yeah.
Because they would have been happy with it, and it was a lovely house.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? And my parents.
Hey, let me tell you something. That monthly payment. Is your biggest nut. Everything is based around it, and you know you got to do everything you can to, you know, make that to bring it under control. You know, when you're going in with it, it's only gonna get higher and stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's what the people in the village complain about. That, like, they pay the highest taxes, and everybody gets to, like, use the parks or whatever it is. You know, I get it. But
yeah, I didn't realize that there were divisions like that within your. This area.
I wouldn't know any of this stuff if my wife wasn't, like, on the Facebook groups. Because, you know, I don't give a shit.
No, you know what? You edumacate yourself when you start. No, she edumacates.
She edumacates me. And I edumacate you.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I learned a lot about the area, the, you know, where were super fun, you know, cleanup sites, and that, you know, people knew about that I'd never heard of. You know, what were the demographics of different towns, which are widely disparate, you know, socioeconomic groups in my county. It's like, it was a wild ride learning about where things were and where I did and didn't want to live, you know. It was crazy.
Well, listen, you got to remember, the girls want to live in this town, at least till my daughter graduates.
Yeah.
So, and we have a foo-foo expensive town,
mm-hmm.
I guess because of our lovely apple orchards, I don't know, and now they're very particular, and I've been through the list before. We want municipal water, so we don't want septic, we want natural gas, we don't want oil, we don't want a bi-level or a ranch, we want a colonial, and I'm like, I just want fucking space, you know, and my wife will go, no, we'll get rid of stuff, I'm like, no, we're not going to.
I got to tell you, natural gas is so nice because basically you don't have to look at the oil gauge. You don't have to worry about the oil gauge and worry about the flow or this, that, and the other thing. You know, so yeah, I like it. I like it.
I like it too. We have it, but you know, if you don't want to pay, first of all, there's not a ton of colonials in this fucking area. Apparently, this whole area got built up in the 70s,
yeah.
Where like they were building bi levels, like they were going out of business or something.
Yes, yes.
So that's and now some of the bi levels are sitting there. I honestly don't give a shit. I mean, like, it's like, oh no, I have to walk up a flight of stairs. All right, that's fine. And I kind of like ranches because I know I'm going to be older and more decrepit soon. But they have their wants, and listen, I have to live with them, and it is what it is. But all right, that's where we are with the real estate. We're just watching my my old cat walk by. My cat walks with a hitch in her giddy up now. She's 19 years old, and she's got old joints, and her back hip doesn't move. She walks like Fred Sanford, Joe.
the poor baby.
She's an older gal, and isn't she a little bit deaf?
No, no, she's not a little deaf. She's completely
she's totally deaf.
Oh, she's totally deaf,
and she has no idea how loud she is. So when she meows at you, she does it like she means it.
Oh no, no, she she will just. I'll be like sleeping, and she will just come and go. Well, like, dude, but you can't ignore it because it doesn't stop. It just keeps going.
I know. Oh, whose tail is that?
All right, it's hers. Stupid. All right, let's.
We got a cat at work. Got a cat at work, Hattie McCaddy, who we all spoil. And I posted it on Facebook. I go to check on him, make sure he's got food. And on his plate, you just see this blue jay feathers and all over. I'm like, oh, you got takeout. All right.
Blue jay's feathers?
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a blue jay carcass on his dish with Friskies around it. I'm like, oh, I guess you got bored of Friskies. You got takeout.
Did the cat catch that?
Yeah, I guess nobody would put it in there, you know. I mean,
that's quite a cat.
What did you think it was wearing a headdress? Of course,
I didn't know if one of Joe's coworkers like found it lying on the side of the road or something. I don't know.
Oh,
No! They think that he probably dragged it in there, put it on the dish.
All right.
Yeah. And blue jays are no nonsense birds. That's pretty badass.
That's a badass cat. Yeah. All right, there you go. All right, we'll talk about my black cat story another fucking week.
Okay.
All right. On the break, we have new music from Ariana Lupo, DJ Nicholas, and DJ Combo with Shine Bright. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And we also have new music from Idle Dream with The First Time. And you can learn more about them at fluttertone.com. When we come back, we'll start with the subject that Pip blogged about. A man breaks into a woman's house. Woman has gun. Man's no more part of this living earth. Woman goes to jail. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Nirvana, all sorts of other fun things. So we'll be right back. Short break. Don't go anywheres.